Good morning. You listen to FordDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Parr. This morning, my guest is Mark Johnson, the National Sales Director with Tate Access Floors. Mark, how you doing?
Doing great, Kemp. A long time no speak.
I'm glad you hit on that, because you're talking about an alumni interview. We did an interview in 2009, 16 years ago. You've been at Tate 34 years, and prior to that, you were a graduate from OSU. You're a Buckeye, right?
Correct, yes. School of Architecture.
Okay. We're contemporaries because I finished college about the same time. So let's talk about Tate Access Floors, market share leader in raised access flooring in the United States. There's been a lot that's changed. You've been growing, and I wanted to talk to you because you've closed some facilities and opened some facilities. You closed your headquarters up in Maryland, and you've been building factories in Arkansas, Virginia, and Kentucky. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's accurate. Recently sold our longtime original factory corporate headquarters because we outgrew it. The growth has been very significant in the data center market. So that's where we originally got into business back in the 60s. And that business, as most people know, is just absolutely booming. That has led us over the last 3-4 years to buy multiple existing building sites in Baltimore, in St. Paul, Virginia, in Arkansas, and soon to be announced recently in Kentucky, where we've more than quadrupled our manufacturing footprint over the last few years and people count.
All right. So let's take the listener through a little bit of this history. This whole idea was started for cable management, and I think you elevated the floors just a few inches. And then engineers and architects started figuring out that if you built a building from the very beginning with the raised panel access flooring in the plan, you could eliminate the ceiling height and you could add underfloor air climate control and you could save money in many ways. One would be just precious metals, less copper, but also the whole moving air, less energy to move air up to the ceiling and then back down to where the people are in the room. So it's become a sustainable way of doing buildings now. Tell us a little bit about your market share.
Market share, there's two parts to that question. Within our industry, within the raised floor industry, our market share is 70%+ across all raised floor applications. But another way we look at it is, what is our market share of buildings, new construction, for example, that are designed with raised access flooring? And that number, the U.S. market, that's more like 8-10%. Our mission is to grow the use and application of raised floor in the commercial office market specifically. That's the big opportunity. And we've slowly seen the adoption of raised floor into new construction in the U.S. over the last 20 years. And as we probably talked a long time ago, compared to the rest of the world, where raised floor is typically part of base building core and shell in buildings in Europe, UK, Far East, basically everywhere except the US.
We covered this 16 years ago, the same topic. The per capita usage of this whole way of building buildings is far more adapted in the European areas and also in Asia. What's the holdback, do you think, in the U.S. for architects designing buildings this way?
You know, you don't want to insult people, right? But when you go through the why to do it, the one question we always get is, why don't we do it? We're slow to adopt, I think, in the U.S. Over in Europe, for example, energy got really expensive a long time ago. Property density is way more dense over there compared to here. Green over in Europe is the environment. Green over here was the dollar bill. But now, in the last 20 years and rapidly increasing, we're becoming very sustainability focused, designing fabulous buildings. And when you look at sustainability, energy usage, the people, raised floor significantly helps with indoor air quality, reducing energy and things like that. So the people that always do things the way they've always done them, they're retiring. There's new generation of people, and we've elevated the bar really in designing buildings in this country. Started out as LEED. We talked about LEED last time, that was late 90s, we're focused on the interior of the building. Since then, we've had the WELL standard focused on people. Now, Living Building Challenge, where carbon and climate change is a big driver, and we have a new standard there to measure embodied carbon. And that's the real hot button today, is now it's saving materials, reducing waste, the embodied carbon in a building. Not just a product, but in the building. And Raised Floor has a great story there.
It does. There's two different market shares we're talking about. One's per capita usage, and that's going to be something we just need to teach architects the right way of doing things. But on the just your market share versus the competition that are also in this category, I think it's interesting, and I've heard horror stories where a floor would be specified to you, and then somebody would value engineer it and take it off to some Asian-made flooring that when you walked on it made noise. Your product's made in the United States, and I think that's a key attribute, right?
Correct. I think there's two Achilles heels of Raised Floor that have held it back. First one being that walkability, walking on a raised floor. Panels that are not screwed down, panels that are not filled with concrete. And you definitely know you're on a raised floor and in a workplace environment that would not be desirable. Across the globe, you know, they don't mind that so much. They will cheapen the product, put in lighter grade panels to make it more cost effective. And then cost. Obviously, there is a first cost of putting a raised floor in the building, but there is enough offsets when you do that, you know, saving ductwork, for example, that can offset the first cost of the raised floor. You consider designing a building with raised floor, you really do change how that whole building is designed. The base building, core and shell, slab to slab dimensions, all those things will offset that cost. So I think the more people understand that and the fact that the bar has been raised for the sustainability of our buildings, you will see continued increase in the adoption of raised floor in the U.S.
So, Mark, you know, most of my listeners are in the flooring business, and they're probably curious to know what the finish should be on top of these panels. Tell us real quick about that.
You know, it is an access floor. People want to get into it, use it, flexibility. So we typically cover it with freelay finishes, and it used to be carpet or carpet tile. Those were your options. Today, it's one of our big strategies was to offer the market more finish options that are integral with the raised floor. So today we have concrete looking finish, we have porcelain, we have wood, we have a lot of LVT options, terrazzo. So now you have a wider choice of finishes, you know, for the interior. So the interior designers love that. That used to be something they weren't thrilled about, being shoehorned into carpet tile.
All right, Mark, well, I appreciate you giving our listeners a quick update on what's been going on with Tate, a market share leader and a company that's been making this type of product since the 60s. Again, been talking to Mark Johnson, the National Sales Director with Tate Access Floors, and you've been listening to Kempar and FloorDaily.net.